Tonight in your hearing, you have listened to Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. And what you have here really is a solution to the problems that we face in our world. We want peace in our lives. We want peace in our relationships, peace in the workplace, peace among one another. This is the key here in Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18 here, the Lord Jesus Christ set forth the following steps regarding what should be done when we have aught against a brother, or when we perceive that we have been sinned against, when we perceive that somebody has done us wrong. I want you to notice these very, very simple steps that the Lord gives, and I believe this perhaps is the least obeyed command in all the Bible. But oh, how it could solve most of our problems that we have one with another if we would just take what our Lord said here to heart. You know, these steps involve, number one, going to the offending brother. Number two, privately telling him his fault, the perceived wrong that we think has been done to us. And once that's done, I believe in most cases, the problems that we perceive will probably come to an end. But number three, though, we may involve others if necessary, perhaps even the church. And number four, maybe withdrawing fellowship from that individual as a last resort. And that really is a summary of the proper steps that ought to be taken. Tonight I want to emphasize in your hearing very briefly a list of things that we should not do when a brother sins against us. When we perceive that we have been wrong, there are some things that we should certainly not do. And I want to emphasize the fact tonight that this is a very short lesson. It's a very simple lesson. It's one to the point. It's one that we need take to heart. I don't think what the Lord said is very hard to understand. I believe it's us who make things complicated. What should I not do when a brother sins against me? Number one tonight, do not ignore the golden rule. I think all of us are familiar with the golden rule in Matthew 7 and verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do you even so unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. I think we're familiar with the shorter version of that. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And so treat the perceived offender as you would want to be treated if perhaps you sinned against another. And that leads us to the second point, and that is don't immediately and automatically think the worst of others. I think it's a natural tendency upon the perception that maybe we've been treated wrongly or we've been sinned against, to just automatically think the worst. We perceive the worst. We seldom stop and think that perhaps we may have been wrong in our assessment of the situation. It may be that we have misunderstood the situation entirely. Perhaps maybe even we are the ones who are at fault. Or could it be the case that really the offender really meant or did absolutely nothing at all? I think we ought to consider very carefully the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, in that great chapter on love, on how we ought to treat one another and how love treats one another, the apostle said, love bears all things, love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love never fails. Notice here that love believes all things. You see, until it's been proven otherwise, we should always think and believe only the best about others. You know, how many grievances could be avoided if such a simple procedure were practiced? I think about one lady in a congregation who came up to the preacher right before services, and I mean, she was so upset. She told the preacher, "Well, you know, Sister Jones just walked right by me and didn't even acknowledge I was there, and she just went and sat down, and that just upsets me." Well, the preacher said, "You know, Sister Jones, don't be upset. You see, she just found out this week that she's going to be going blind, and all she was doing was simply counting the steps to her seat." You see, sometimes we don't know all the situation, and we get so wrapped up in me, myself, and I, and how everything affects me, that we don't properly understand a particular situation, and so we automatically think the worst of others. Don't do that. That leads us to the next point, though. Don't talk to others about the grievances until you have first spoken to the offended or the offender. You know, the tendency we have that when we have been hurt or we feel like that we have been sinned against is to tell everybody else about the matter but the one that we believed has done us harm. Now, folks, we dare not make this tragic mistake. You see, if the facts are wrong, we could be in danger of bearing false witness. We could be in danger of even lying about the person that we think or perceive has sinned against us. And we don't want to ever put ourselves in that kind of a dangerous situation. We never want to be put in the situation where we have borne false witness about the character of another individual. And so you see, rather than talking to others first, we should first of all talk to God. And I think that leads us to the next point. Do not forget to pray. If a brother or a sister has wronged you, and that can happen, and it does happen. Perhaps most of the time, it's completely unintentional. But if a brother or sister has sinned against you, be sure and talk to God first. The Hebrews writer in chapter 4 and verse 16 assures us that he will give us the help that we must have in time of need. I'm afraid sometimes we think of prayer as being some kind of last resort, when in fact, it ought to be the first course of action. The Bible emphasizes, for example, in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. And relationships, especially those relationships that are at odds, can be somewhat difficult and thorny. We've been in the midst of those kinds of relationships from time to time. And so the first thing we ought to do in dealing with these kinds of relationships is to simply go to our God in prayer. Just ask God for wisdom. James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He gives to all liberally. And you're going to need it if things are going to be sorted out in a godly Christian manner. The next point, though, when a brother sins against you, what not to do: don't bottle up feelings and let resentment fester. You know, this is really where things can begin to get out of sorts. When we perceive that somebody has done us wrong in some way, somebody has sinned against us, we naturally become very angry. We build up this barrier. I think about Paul as he quoted the Old Testament. He explained the proper procedure for anger. It's not necessarily wrong to be angry. It's how we handle and deal with our anger. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil." And so, in other words, we need to take care of this matter immediately. It's like a small spark or a little fire. You know, if we don't put that out very quickly in the right climate, that fire can get out of control. It can give utter destruction to everything that's around. And if we allow things to fester, if we allow our anger to boil, and we don't take care of it immediately, there's going to be problems. You think about Absalom, who was David's son in the Old Testament. I believe that he forever serves as an example of one who did not take the proper course of action regarding his anger. Now, if you look at the account there, we know that Absalom's brother Amnon had raped his sister Tamar. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel 12 and verse 3, I should say 13 and verse 2, "And Absalom spoke to his brother Amnon neither good nor bad." He just kind of pretended that things were all right. And the Bible says Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. And maybe you remember the story how that this anger built up and festered until eventually Amnon was killed by his own brother Absalom. And so do not let your feelings fester. Don't bottle up all those hurt feelings. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And that leads us to our last point tonight. Very importantly, don't take personal vengeance. You know, the old saying is, "I don't get mad, I get even." Sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, we like that kind of an attitude deep down inside sometimes if we're not careful. I'm just going to get even. I'm going to get you back. You know, that should not be practiced by a spiritual-minded child of God. You know, when we look at the Bible and what it says, we are to seek to do good toward our enemies rather than try to harm them. In the words of Matthew 5 and verse 44, the Bible says, "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." You see, when it comes to those that hurt us, those that would seek out to do us harm, we are to seek their good rather than seeking vengeance. Because you see, a principle that we really don't understand is the Lord's going to take care of vengeance in his own way, in his own time. It's not going to happen maybe like we think it ought to happen. It's not going to maybe occur in a manner in which we would like it to occur. But keep in mind what God said. "Vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. The Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And so tonight, I challenge you to take to heart these things that are said by our Lord in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. I encourage you to think about and meditate upon these principles that we've emphasized tonight regarding what we should not do when a brother sins against us. Don't ignore the golden rule. Don't just immediately assume the worst about other people. Don't talk to others about those grievances until you have first gone to the one who you perceive has offended you. Above all, don't forget to pray to God about what to do and for wisdom. And don't bottle up those feelings. Don't make your life miserable by allowing those feelings to fester. And then do not take personal vengeance. I would like to encourage you tonight, when you go home, to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Read those verses very slowly and very carefully, and then you take it from there. Tonight, we extend the Savior's invitation. It may be that you've never obeyed the gospel. You're yet outside of Christ. God wants to save you. He's made provision for your salvation by your simple trusting faith in Jesus as God's Son, by repenting of your sin, confessing His beautiful name that He is the Son of God. You can be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Or tonight, if you've allowed sin to dominate your life, if you've been overcome by faults and you need the prayers of the church, you can come tonight as well. The invitation is yours tonight. If you need to respond, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.